Welcome to Co-Creating Now with Monica Goyle. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyle, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Heal yourself. Hope you are having a blissful day. I have someone very special in our show today, and she is a living hope, I have to say. As an infant, Lynn Cocker Murphy survived a tragic house fire that claimed her father and two sisters and left her with severe burns over much of her body. She lived most of her life with a severely depressed and alcoholic mother who shared with Lynn at 5 years old her thoughts of suicide. She lived through her stepfather being crushed to death in a logging accident and her mother being murdered in a barroom robbery. After all she has been through, Lynn is radiantly happy and living a life of pure service to the world. I think she has a lot to teach us. She is a living hope, and we are really grateful to her and very honored to have her on our show today. Welcome, Lynn.
Monica, thank you so much for having me.
We are honored, Lynn. Thank you so much for taking time to meet us and talk. And you are a great counselor, and I know you can help a lot of us. Who have suffered or are suffering. So welcome.
Thank you. You know, that makes me think of the fact that today is September 11th, and so much of the news today is focused on our losses 15 years ago. And I thought how appropriate that we're talking about suffering and coping.
Yeah, totally. And I would love you to share your personal journey and what made you the strong, happy person that you are today.
Oh, I'd be glad to. I think that there's always that part of us that comes in when we're born. You know, who is that person? Unfortunately, that person in me is that strength. I have a lot of inner strength. So as you listed all those events that occurred in the first 25 years of my life, although I was confused and devastated and ended up with depression and PTSD symptoms, besides all of that, there was a part of me that said, there's got to be a way out of this. There's got to be a way to a better life. And that's what drove me forward and into the healing work.
So how, like, what was the breakthrough? There was something always telling you there is a way out. There was this inner voice or your higher self always trying to pull you out and show you the truth. But what really happened? Was there any incident, a particular incident that you just decided to, you know?
You know, people ask me that. But, no, there really wasn't an incident that I can think of. There were a couple things that helped. One is if you do research on what is resilience, what are resilient people, eventually, in my college studies, I looked at that and I saw that part of my resilience really was based upon the fact that I had a grandmother who was super supportive, was there for me, had unconditional love, but had rules and structure. And so I think she had a lot to do with my making it through all that. But I think another factor is that my family had taken me to church. And I went to a lot of different churches as a child, a lot of different kinds. And the message I got is there is something bigger than you, and if you look to it, it will help. And so then in my late teens, as I was searching, I was studying psychology, and I was searching, and I thought, you know, I don't think my family has benefited that much from their Christian beliefs. And that puzzled me. So I thought, well, maybe I should be looking somewhere else. So that's when I went to some classes on Buddhism and discovered the law of cause and effect. And from there, I started getting a lot of answers. So, but I think that my family's planting the seeds. That there, you know, there is a force in the world that cares, that's bigger than you, and look to it. So that made a difference, a huge difference.
But I'm sure, like, all of us, you must be having those questions, you know, why me? Why am I having such a tough life? Why this happened to my family? And why did I survive?
Survivor's guilt was a big one. I was so relieved when I learned about that in college. It was like, oh, I wonder I feel this way. Being, you know, in the house fire and the only one of four to survive. So there was the why me, and there was a lot of self-pity for years. But I just couldn't stay in that place, you know. Misery is really a motivator to do something different and to look for your answers. And as I said, Buddhism and the law of cause and effect, the concept of karma, made me think, oh, there is actually a reason for everything.
Wow. So that really, really answered your questions and influenced you. And, I mean, that actually gave you an answer.
It did. It did. Yeah. So I continued to stayed with that sect of Buddhism for quite a few years, I would say. 7 years, maybe. And then I went in a different direction, not to reject Buddhism, because I'm very eclectic today, and Buddhism is part of how I savor that, savor life, I guess I could call it. But it really, it fulfilled me and gave me answers at that time and got me really onto my feet.
And so, I mean, that's when you became a healer and started healing other people?
During that time, I started healing with my cats, because I had a pussycat get really, really sick, and I used my Buddhist studies and practice to heal that cat, and I got great confirmation because the veterinarian said, my goodness, I've never seen a cat heal from this serious illness in 2 days. So you can take your kitty home now. So that was real validation for me back then. And I was only, I don't know, 19, something like that. So it started back then. And then the next thing I did was move into a metaphysical Christian commune. And those people, several of them were healers, and so I learned from them. And so I expanded my repertoire of what is healing, how to go about it. And then after that, just whenever I got an opportunity to study a new methodology, then I did that. And so now, you know, I'm fully ensconced in my work as a healer counselor.
Teacher. What is your mode of healing? Was it like Buddhist chants to start with?
To start with, it was Buddhist chanting. It was. With the, I was in the group of Nichiren, what was it? Nichiren Daishonin Sokugaku Society, which is out of Japan. And it's still in the States. It's here. It's available for people. So I started there. But later on, I learned healing through prayer, through more traditional Christian methods, through color therapies, hands-on, also the Holy Spirit, and then like another 10 years later, then I took Reiki. And I can't remember all the different things I've studied, but then I studied Theta Healing. And Theta Healing is the primary one I use today. It's so effective, and it works well with my counseling skills and my counseling training.
Yeah.
So I use those, and that's what I teach the most. There are three different levels of it that I teach. Then I also I teach what's called basic DNA, Theta Healing, advanced Theta Healing, and manifesting in abundance through Theta Healing. Those are all in-person classes, and there's information about that on my website. My website is desertjewel.org.
That's awesome. Thanks much for sharing. So, Len, what inspired you to write such a personal book?
It was as if it had to come out. I retired from teaching school in 2008, and I was just wanting to write a book so bad. And I tried and tried to get it started by myself and just ended up with pieces. And then I met Tom Bird, who lives in Sedona, and has a particular method that he believes the book is within you and it's a matter of setting it free. I went to his workshop. I wrote the book in one day.
My God!
Yeah, it was a very powerful experience.
Wow. And we will take just a short break here. Be right back. Please stay.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. And we were talking to Len about her book, which she wrote in a day. How amazing that is, Len.
We were talking about that the book really came out in one day. And that doesn't include the editing, because every book requires editing. But it was just like this big burst. I was in a retreat with 45 other people writing, and I was the first one done. It was time. So, but then I had to polish it, and it came out last September. The title is Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. It has its own webpage, which is Lynn Cockrum-Murphy.com. And it talks about the book. You can read a free chapter. There's some excerpts out of the book and activities that are free. You can order the book through the website or through Amazon. You can get my newsletter and be in touch with me as often as you would like. So all that's available.
It's a beautiful book, and it seems like you really had a book within you, and it just needed to come out.
It really did, and it was part of the healing process also. But I had done, fortunately, a great deal of healing before I got to this point, or I don't think the book would be as readable as it is. Because what the feedback I get from others is that it reads really easy, really fast, and meaningful to them.
It is, yeah. And it's very inspiring for all of us. And like you said, very truly, all of us have a book within us, you know. It's like... We should. I mean, your journey and how you came out of your suffering is so inspiring for all of us. And if you hadn't written this book, you know, how would we ever learn, and how would we ever find out that there is a way out of it? So it was meant to be. And good you, you know, listen to your heart, and it just gave it out to us.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, those inner voices that urge you, those are the thing to listen to, because there's so much satisfaction when you act on it.
So, Lynn, I mean, when you were writing the book, what was the purpose? Was it like telling your story, or was it to help people being a healer?
Yes, it was definitely both, that there was the value for me in telling the story. But there's so much more than that original story. There are chapters on I'm flipping open to the list of chapters. Beyond pain, changing awareness, states of being, what is karma, that there's a multiple paths and ways to healing and happiness, the fact that we create our own lives, that we get responsibility for the good and bad of our lives, and how to live with that, what we can do with it. I talk about teachers. I talk about love. At the back of the book, there's a checkoff list of things to try, like if you're looking for, what do I do with myself today? What do I do to feel better? And so there are things in here, and many of them are really simple. Then there's a chart and explanation on how to fill it out, and that's about being a human doing or a human being and filling out a chart for yourself to look at how much you're doing of each. And what would you like to change? What would you like to add in? And I give examples of that. I list resources and films and books to encourage people. There's even book club questions at the back of the book. To encourage people to grab onto something. That there are reasons for suffering. Everybody, I'm not the only one that's had a rough life. But we don't have to stay there.
Yeah. So do you think suffering can lead to peace?
I do. I think suffering is a motivator, like I said about misery a few minutes ago. You know, that when I get down in the dumps and think, oh, it's not going my way, oh, I feel stuck, well, that motivates me to, what is it that I need? I need to get down on my knees. Do I need to go find a counselor, a teacher, to take a new class, to change my behaviors, change my habits? Do I just need to get out and walk in nature more often and let that heal me? So there are so many avenues, and peace didn't somebody say peace is an inside job? It's within us. And for me, it was a releasing of all the old and all the garbage and all the beliefs about it. And discovering that peace within, I think a really big factor is that I'm a meditator. And
yeah.
years and years and years of meditation, although not easy, have given mm-hmm. me that quiet place that's really accessible now.
So not giving up.
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
Never giving up. Never giving up. Because there are so many people like me that would love to help. There are so mm-hmm. many free resources. There are so many good books. And there are mm-hmm. so many people that care about you, about your listeners, about me. People really care. But mm-hmm. sometimes we have to say, hey, I'm over here and I'm struggling.
Right.
Help.
Yeah.
Be there for me.
We have to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lynn, I mean, you mean like you said, you meditated for years and Buddhism gave you tools to heal yourself.
Uh-huh.
Do you think some kind of spiritual path is important to have?
It's the rock of my healing. It's the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I actually find that without connection to my higher self, my God self, to the creative source that is, without mm-hmm. connection to that, I'm not very happy. It's the
mm-hmm.
one thing in life that if I connect to that, I'm okay.
Right.
So even, you know, so the normal things that we do, the normal successes, they're nice to have. But the only thing that really means something above all to me is my connection mm-hmm. with that inner peace and with that greater source. I mean, that's the path to enlightenment. And that's what I'm on. And it, you know, I'm not there yet. And the process is good. Good life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's a journey. There is no destination.
Yes.
It's like, you know, just working on our lessons and growing as a soul.
That seems to be why we're here and how it works. I agree. I do
mm-hmm.
agree.
Mm-hmm.
And that it, you know, the concept of life's a school?
Mm-hmm.
I found, finally, that life's a playground, too. And I never knew I would think that way. But life can be mm-hmm. really fun. When I get to do a theta healing session with someone and I watch their problems just float away and the lights mm-hmm. light bulbs turn on for them, my soul is full at those moments. Life is fun. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like being out in nature or playing with animals. So it doesn't mean I don't ever get sad anymore, but
mm-hmm.
it comes and goes a lot faster.
Yeah, no, we all are humans, and I guess we are here to experience all emotions, but what do we do with it is a question.
Yeah.
Do we stay stuck or move up?
Right, and that's why it's good to have spiritual practice, because they can help you move out of emotion to where it's more like you watch emotions pass by, like, wow, my response to that mm-hmm. was anger. Well, I certainly don't want to stay there, and I don't want to do any of the damage that angry words can do. So I think I'll walk away and take a break, you know, and let this pass, and knowing that they pass.
Yeah, and it does pass.
Everything does. That's one of the truths about life. Uh-huh. Yeah, that no matter how good or bad it is, it will pass.
Yeah, everything comes to a pass. So what do you want the readers to take away from the book?
Well, I think that's why I named it Living Hope. I want them to have hope and to know that there are steps and there are things to grab onto to get out of any suffering that they may have. I think mm-hmm. earlier I mentioned PTSD. It's shocking the number of Americans that have that. It's about 8 million. When I researched it last year, About 8 million Americans diagnosed with PTSD. So if that's diagnosed, then how many aren't? Because people are uncomfortable talking about it or don't want to go to their doctors or think that they're going to be prescribed medication or don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in counseling. And so there are a lot of people that are really suffering. So the book is to help people have something to hold on to and full of good ideas and maybe some inspiration that they're going to be okay.
Yeah, and so many of us suffer from this. Like you said, we don't even, you know, bring it out.
Right.
Like, very less people share, actually. And even acknowledge. Sometimes they're not even aware.
Well, I didn't know until I knew that it was PTSD. I thought a lot of my reactions to things that startled me or scared me, I thought that was normal. And
that was
because
normal.
It'd been there since I was 2 and a half, you know, after the house fire, it was normal for me to have reactive states. But later on, I found out it was because I'd been through the fire and my other losses.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so life seemed really tentative, and that was all stuff that could heal. Doesn't mean that I don't have any of those traits today, but they don't run my life at all. I think that's possible for everybody.
Yeah. And we will take your picture and be right back with Lynn. Please stay tuned with us.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Carrie Ann Larson.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in a beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
And we are back. Welcome back, everyone. So, Lynn, tell us, how does trauma affect you now?
How does it affect me now? It makes me a little more aware and cautious in unusual or large public settings. It makes me a little more vigilant if I'm alone at night. So some of those kinds of things. Sometimes, it doesn't happen very much anymore, but that startle response where, you know, someone walks into the room and says something and you overreact, you physically cringe and get a jolt of adrenaline, that is a trauma response, a PTSD trait, and that rarely happens to me anymore. But I will feel kind of that extra alertness. So hypervigilance is one of the traits that normally develops, and it's really just tempered down now, so that I'm pretty aware, but I don't react to it. It doesn't create that adrenaline rush, you know. And it's interesting because of my intuitive abilities, I'm also just very aware. So if I'm in an unsafe place, now I can discern, this really is an unsafe place. You need to not be here. Mm-hmm. Or versus when I was younger, I didn't know whether it was truly unsafe. If I didn't have a barometer for that. Everything seemed pretty safe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so, now it's really much more peaceful, and the awareness, if I sense something, I can find out what it's about now. You know, is it mine? Is it something else? Is it something in the environment? Is there a real threat? You know, exactly what is it?
Right. What are a few actions, steps, and tools that you recommend in your book to overcome?
Action steps. The spiritual practices we talked about, and we talked about meditating, we talked about chanting. There are new kinds of prayer that I learned through Theta Healing that are very effective. I think the prayer that I used as a child was like, God, make this person change. You know, God, do this for me. And I don't, my prayers are nothing like that now, and they're much more effective. Because I've learned you can't change other people, but you can change yourself, right? So that's changed. Let's see. So prayer's a good tool. Let's see. Oh, journaling was a great tool. And I think it was because I journaled for years that by the time I was ready to write, writing was a lot easier because of that. It's such a good tool. And I recommend it to a lot of people, a lot of my clients these days, is pour that stuff out on paper and then decide what you want to do with it. I do recommend therapy for people when that's appropriate, whether you do it with a traditional counselor, therapist, or one that's specific to your needs, like an addictions counselor or a marriage counselor. And myself, I don't go to counselors anymore because I have Theta Healing and other tools. But it took me a while to get to that state.
So, Lynn, for the people who don't have any spiritual path, what is your recommendation to them? I mean, who still haven't figured out what it is. Can you give them some tools?
One of the things that I found, I worked in drug treatment for a while, and I noticed that there were clients who were willing to do something to find that inner peace and to find another way to enjoy life besides using substances. And what we found for them is it was nature. It was fishing for a lot of the men. It was hiking and climbing to mountaintops for men and women, or walking in the park, taking their dog out for a walk. All those things, sitting at the beach and listening to the waves, all those things bring peace. Maybe not the first time, maybe not every time, but they are a way to connect with something greater than yourself. And you don't have to, it's not about, is it God or is it using a church? It's about the natural inherent healing power of our earth.
Yeah, something bigger than us, connecting with something, that rhythm, that, you know, it's something that's running everything. And you just, if you immerse yourself in it, if you become aware of it, I think it's easy to pull yourself out of that low feeling, that misery, that suffering.
And there are other things we can do. We can express gratitude for the little things. I'm grateful my body's intact. I'm grateful that I went through that fire and I look okay. You know, my face, the scars aren't seen by hardly anybody. You know, I'm considered attractive. Thank you so much. Because it could have been different. So I'm grateful for that. So instead of saying, oh, my arm is so burnt, it really doesn't look smooth. Well,
I
can live with that because the rest of me looks really good. So thank you.
Yeah.
So gratitude, and I think doing something for others, and I'm not talking about codependent doing. I'm talking about when you see a homeless person and you have a scarf around your neck and they don't, and it's cold, give them your scarf. If they don't have a bottle of water, give them the one in your car that's not opened yet. So those kinds of things, because it fills our hearts and makes us more whole. And I think that's part of what we're looking for.
Yeah. I think it's consciously making ourselves aware about what all we have and how much we have.
Oh, yes. Even when I didn't have much, I had enough, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there was a brief period in my late teens that I was on food stamps, and I was not happy about it. But I'm so grateful to our government that they would bail me out until I got my life back on track. You know, there's so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So doing gratitude lists in your head as you fall asleep and when you wake up in the morning. Coming up with 3 to 7 things that you're sincerely grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you believe, Lynn, that the more positive we feel, we will attract positive experiences in our lives?
Gosh, that's so true. Because think of the opposite. If you walk around with a dark cloud over your head and you're grouchy to all the clerks and stores that you deal with, what do you get back? Grouchiness and more things to add to that big cloud over your head. But if you, and this includes me, I consciously pay attention to this. If I say thank you or, oh, I see you're having a rough day at work, I hope it's over for you soon. If I say, you know, I'm really not happy with this product and I know it's not your fault, it's the company that made it, or it's the decision maker at the top. But would you help me to resolve this problem, please? All of that comes back to me. And that, you know, that's that law of karma again, the law of cause and effect. Or as Americans say, what comes around goes around.
Yes, exactly. So you did see your life shift to a more positive space once you yourself became positive.
Once I became what?
Positive. Like once you became grateful, once you started noticing the good things in your life, more good things came to you.
And I sought out, at times I had people just tell me, you know, look, you're being negative. It's no fun to be around you. Would you stop that? I had one aunt that said that and it opened my eyes. But at other times through programs like Al-Anon or Adult Children of Alcoholics, programs like that, where they really encourage things like gratitude lists and journaling and moving the misery out of you and then focusing on the good. There's something I talk about in the book called Greatness Circle. And in Greatness Circle, we affirm the awesomeness that we are, the light and love that we are, because our world doesn't encourage that. So we encourage that in each other, and it really changes your perspective. Not just self-esteem, but the whole sense of worth. So when I go to Greatness Circle now, I may go there thinking, what am I going to share today? And in no time at all, I can see, I have like 3 different great things that I'm certain about myself this week. I could share any of them. So it changes perspective. Anything that you do that facilitates that, you are loving yourself.
Yes. Yes. That's beautiful. So would you like to share anything about any unusual mystical experiences or practices you do?
Sure. When I work with clients, some of it's really practical, like a counseling conversation. They bring up a problem. Yeah. We look for what is at the base of it, and then I say the correct prayers and requests and get that switched and gone. And I can download a person with the opposite, with the positives. So, you know, for, particularly for people who don't believe that they're enough, people who have the I'm not enough belief, then so we can download I am enough, I always have been, I'm loved, I'm lovable, I'm valuable, there's something special about me. Creator knows how valuable I am. My value shows in the world. My gifts are apparent to me. I have clarity about my gifts. So that people transition from not knowing all that wonderful stuff about themselves to it's just part of them. So there's that. But then there are other... Pardon me?
You have them change their belief system.
Yes. Theta Healing does that. Remarkable, and it does it many times faster than counseling does. So I use that with them, but I also, because we use the theta state, which is a very high meditative state in the process, I can hear a level of guidance that I don't hear with my ordinary ears. It's intuition and it's awareness. And from there, I'm guided to exactly what a person needs or where to take them in the conversation or what to bring up. And then other times I just channel and bring through messages. And, you know, for people who've lost someone and need reassurance, it works.
How powerful that is. Amazing. We will come back after a bit. Thank you for that.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back, everyone. And we were talking about changing the belief system, how Lynn helps in her counseling healing sessions to change the belief system to become more positive and become more aware of our own higher selves. So, Lynn, you refer to suffering as illusion in your book. Can you explain that?
Yes, and I think that's a very complicated, complex It took me a long time to get to that concept and be okay with it. So if someone doesn't accept that when they hear that, I get it. But as we said earlier, suffering can lead to peace, and my life shows that. But there's another level of understanding, and that's about this world being illusion. All that we've created here, all that we've agreed upon in the collective consciousness that holds all this together is actually still illusion. And so when I go deep into my meditations and I connect with Source, there is no suffering. There's only perfection. There's only bliss. There's only love. That's partly why I have a spiritual practice, is because I can I can have moments of that. And I'm having more and more of my life be that, where suffering doesn't even exist. It's almost more like a choice. And I would say the exception for most of us, though, is if you break a bone, the physical pain is so intense that it's really hard to remember that that all this is illusion. We've made it very real for ourselves. But I think the truth is we're infinite beings. We're not the forms that we see walking around. We're the light that lies within. So when our bodies don't exist, we still do. And in that state, again, no suffering. So that's my take on it. And that's metaphysical, it's Buddhist, it's Hindu.
So, but I mean, when you are in the middle of that suffering, like you mentioned, you break a bone.
Yeah.
And it hurts, right?
Yes.
What do you suggest that that's going to, you know, remind ourselves that this is not real? And is there, like, do you believe there can be instant healing at that point if we believe?
You know, Vianna Stibble, who created Theta Healing, has done instant healings, and she's not the only one. But it's happened in her classes where someone was running into class and fell and broke a bone. And she healed it right there in front of all the students. Yes, there can be instant healing. For myself, you know, there might be instant healing at that moment. But the other thing I would do is I would call 911, or I would get my husband. I would take action. Because action, when you're in action, you know you're going to take care of the problem and then your peace comes back. The other thing is, you know, some people have meditated and had their spiritual practice to the state of where Deepak Chopra walked onto Oprah's TV show not long ago, and she said, "Oh my, you're so busy." And he said, "My body's busy. I'm not." And so to me, it's more that, oh, my body is in pain, that I'm an infinite light-filled being. I'm fine. I'm great. But I better get my body fixed.
Yes, that's important.
I think Baba Ram Dass wrote a book about when he had the stroke, and then after the stroke, he's written a couple of books. And he's talked about how what he learned from being in a wheelchair and dependent on others. So it was a challenge for him. But it wasn't the end of his world, because the bliss that he is inside was apparent to him. So it's possible. I think it takes years of practice, and maybe that's not everybody's goal. But for me, it is, because as I said at the beginning, that which makes my life the most satisfying is connecting with others and then connecting with the source that's greater than me. And that's where my joy lies.
That's wonderful. What part of the book would be is your favorite and you would like to read to the audiences?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see.
I'm sure there's a lot.
There's a lot. In the prologue, it says, "I suspect you're attracted to this book because you've been in pain, emotional pain. and feel burdened by life's events, and yet you want so much more, and part of you believes it's possible. Truth is, it's more than possible. More than likely, you chose this book, these steps, to propel yourself into the life you seek. Happiness comes to those who seek it and allow it.
Right.
So that's out of the prologue.
You love that, yeah.
Well, because it's really about the hope that I think we all deserve to have.
Yes, that's a promise that all of us have. We just have to open up ourselves to it.
And I think that's the other, like you said, open ourselves, and that's why I put the steps in here, because the little steps that we can take lead us to the change we're looking for. I heard Dan Millman speak. I think he wrote Peaceful Warrior. Actually, I'm not sure, but it seems like that's who that was. Anyway, he said, you know, if you get up off the couch and you do one jumping jack, you can say, I exercised today, and there's your beginning. So however you want that to be for yourself, one thing, one easy thing, and you'll feel like, oh, okay, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, how beautiful that is. So Lenny, I know you have another book coming out. What is that one about?
That one is called Unfolding the Mystery of Self. We Are Never Alone. It comes out this November, and it's about the amazing spiritual support system I've become aware of. As you know, my first experiences with that was seeing angels and being comforted by angels was in the hospital at age 2.5. So in the book I share about a lot of those and how it's changed my view on life. How as I write books today, I'm aware of the angels and guides and teachers that are with me and the love and support that I feel very comfortable now talking to them, talking to Jesus. I don't talk to Buddha so much. I talk to Babaji. All of that. So those experiences are in that book, and I try to make it real and down to earth. So, because I think everybody's intuitive. Oh, thank you. Everybody's intuitive, and it's a matter of how much we allow it, acknowledge it, and embrace it. So that's part of what I'm trying to say in the book is, you've got this too. Go for it.
That's so beautiful. And are you, can our audience pre-order the book or, how to get it? So it's coming out in 2 months.
It'll be out in November. November 10th is the release date. It will be available through my website, thelynncockrum-murphy.com. There'll be a link to it from my desertjewel.org website, and it's at Amazon. You can get it in a Kindle
We can pre-order.
Oh, you know, I haven't set it up yet, but yes, in about a month. I bet we can. As soon as I get the cover so that it's on Amazon and people can see it.
Great. Congratulations. We are so looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. You're so sweet. You're a very kind person.
And we will have another. We would love to have you once it is out. To talk about it and to know more about your experiences. That would be wonderful.
Thank you. I would love to come back. So the book will be out, but my website is accessible at this point if people want to connect with me, get my newsletters where I talk about these tools. There's about a year's worth of newsletters where I go into each of the tools and talk more about them. And those are all free.
That's so wonderful. You also counsel and heal people. You give them sessions, live sessions.
Yes, and the information about that is on the DesertJewel.org website. But I work through Skype. I work through the telephone. I see people in person. I live in Phoenix, Arizona. So the people that it's convenient to, I see them here. Otherwise, we work on the phone. And a lot can be accomplished. Life can change and get better.
That's great. That's wonderful. Any last message for our audience, Lynn?
That every single person who's listening is an infinite, beautiful being. Whatever kind of body they're wearing, whatever kind of thoughts they have, the truth is who they are inside is lovable and special.
That's such a precious message. Thank you so much. We are really honored to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, dear friends, for joining us today. Looking forward to seeing you next week again. Have a blissful week. Namaste.
Namaste.